Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
This morning we're talking about hunger and habits. To start with, I'll describe what might be a familiar scene to some of you. We have two teenagers in our house, and last Sunday night when we came in from church, I thought my two were going to eat their way through our entire kitchen. They were absolutely ravenous. Maybe you have been around teenagers or kids when they descend like vultures on sweets. Maybe you are like my teenagers. We have a friend who is an adult who used to eat a whole main course when we were out at a restaurant, and then he would order a pizza, a full-size pizza, for his dessert. Now that is an appetite. But it's not just food that we're hungry for. I'm astounded by our appetite for things like online content, for instance. Here are some mind-blowing stats. YouTube viewers consume 1 billion hours of content every day. 1 billion hours. Or if you're not into YouTube, you can choose from a total of 43 million podcast episodes. 43 million. Perhaps this hunger for content points towards a hunger for knowledge, a hunger for how to live our lives. As we'll see in today's passage from Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is very interested in how we live our lives. In a nutshell, his message is this: be hungry for wisdom. We've titled this series on the book of Ephesians Foundations, and the verses that we'll be looking at today are packed with foundational truth about what it looks like to walk in wisdom. Foundations might not be exciting or aesthetically pleasing part of a construction, but foundations keep the house from falling down. And right now, in this season, there are a lot of things collapsing. Andy and I were talking the other day, and he said this thing. He said, "The world keeps on breaking." And that really resonated with me. It does feel like that. Divorce lawyers are busier than ever. The health system is on its knees. Tribal, racial, political conflicts the world over, the growing gap between rich and poor. It is not only the church that needs foundations, it's the world. Wisdom for life, wisdom for human flourishing. I remember being a teenager and my mom saying things like, "You should wear a coat," or "You should zip up your coat" when it was cold in the winter. She was offering her wisdom. I now hear myself saying similar things to my kids. "You should think about this. Maybe you shouldn't do that." And I can see it going in one ear and out the other, just like it did for me when I was their age. Is that how we treat God's wisdom? In one ear and out the other? Or are we actually hungry for and chasing after wisdom? Like my teenagers ransacking the fridge and the cupboard in our kitchen last Sunday night, there was an urgency to their pursuit. What would happen if we pursued wisdom with a similar urgency? So let's take a look at our passage then. Ephesians 5, 15 to 20. "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So let's take a closer look at what Paul is saying. Verse 15. "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise." In the Greek, it's more like, "Be very careful how you walk." Indeed, this whole chapter has been about walking in the light, walking in holiness. The past 2 weeks, we looked at things Paul was saying we should avoid because they are harmful to us or to others. He is asking the Ephesian church and us today to be careful about what is darkness and what is light, what is wise and what is unwise. This instruction to be careful, it's not motivated by fear. It's not being careful because we're afraid of making mistakes or getting it wrong. It's not driven by anxiety of missing God's plan for our lives. Paul is not saying we should get a bunker and stock up on tinned food until the Lord returns. Paul is talking about wisdom for living, not for hiding. Paul himself was a risk taker. He ended up shipwrecked and imprisoned. Some would say he was crazy, not careful, but it was the wisdom of God and the revelation from the Holy Spirit which led Paul to be a missionary to the Gentile world. God's wisdom was for living life to the full, for pursuing the kingdom of God, even at great personal cost. Paul walked in the light, and he was persecuted for doing what was right. But God's wisdom isn't always popular. It isn't always well received. Are we prepared to chase after God's way even when it's unpopular, even if it's costly? Are we still hungry for God's wisdom, even if it's not what everyone else around us is doing? Verse 16 and 17, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Making the most of every opportunity. That sounds a bit like carpe diem, doesn't it? Or a phrase I learned from my kids, YOLO. Paul isn't urging us to find ourselves, though, or live our best life. It's not about making the most of every opportunity to advance our own agendas, to become rich or powerful or famous. It's not about getting our own way. It's about God having his way. What would it look like for God to have his way in your life, for his wisdom to lead the way? God having his way in my life means things turned out a lot differently than I expected. I never saw myself living in Belfast, leading a church, or even being a worship leader. God might not call you to another country like he did me. He might not ask you to leave your job or your family, but are you willing to submit to his ways, to his wisdom for your life? I remember as a young person trying to discern what God's will was and getting myself all tied up in knots, worrying that I was making all the right decisions, getting stressed out about missing what God had for me. 20 years on, how I see it is, I think we have a lot of freedom to choose as long as we are led by wisdom. If we are chasing wisdom, I don't think we're going to miss what God has for us. The Ephesians were facing all manner of challenges, both within the church and in culture, just like we are facing many challenges today. And in spite of those challenges, and maybe precisely because of all that is evil in our days, we must not miss this moment. We must seek wisdom so that we can make the most of every opportunity, even in the midst of great darkness and opposition. All of the listeners from a Jewish background would have heard that phrase, "Do not be foolish," and they would have immediately made the link in their minds to the book of Proverbs. It is likely that Paul intends for us to join those dots. The writer in Proverbs personifies wisdom as Lady Wisdom. In chapter 8, we find Lady Wisdom calling out. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading to the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud, "To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her." Proverbs tells us that fools despise wisdom and discipline, but the man or the woman who finds wisdom gains understanding, and blessed are they. Wisdom does not come to the proud, but to the humble, to those who are teachable, to those who recognize that he is God and we are not. For the writer of Proverbs reminds us, by wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations, by understanding he set the heavens in place. Like Lady Wisdom in Proverbs, the Apostle Paul calls out to us. He too is shouting in the street. He too is urging us to chase wisdom. Where in your life do you need wisdom? In your workplace, in your marriage, in your finances, with your parents? We all need wisdom somewhere. Verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. It does seem a little jarring that this is the next thing that Paul says. Why is he contrasting this state of drunkenness to being filled with the Spirit? It may have been a reference to the pagan rituals around them. However, it's actually unclear. Here's what Paul may be saying. This idea of filling or fullness is a reference to the temple, the glory of God coming and dwelling in his temple. But now we are God's temple, the place where God's Spirit dwells. It's not a physical structure, bricks and mortar, that is filled, but a human body. So Paul is appealing to us as followers of Jesus to be filled with the Spirit, to make room for the Spirit in our lives. Paul isn't saying we shouldn't have a glass of wine with dinner. He's saying be mindful about what is filling and controlling your life. That word debauchery, it probably makes us all cringe a little bit, right? But it means to excessively indulge in something. What do you excessively indulge in? Maybe it's not wine. Maybe it's social media, Netflix, podcasts, music, sport, could be anything really. These things aren't necessarily bad in and of themselves, but it's the amount that we indulge in these things that we need to consider. What are you putting into your life? We have choices to make about what is forming us. Are we allowing wisdom to lead those choices? If we are wise, we will humbly recognize the need for the Holy Spirit's help in this. It is arrogant to think that we can manage all of this in our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit to help us, and we need to be continually filled with the Spirit because, as somebody said somewhere, we leak. If we are wise, we will make it a habit to be continually filled with the Spirit. We will welcome the Holy Spirit into our lives, both in personal prayer, but also in gathered worship. That's where I first encountered the Holy Spirit. More on worship in a moment. It's not about how dramatic our encounter is. It's what we do with it. I've had very few dramatic encounters in the past year. Probably only twice this year have I really felt the Holy Spirit in a significant way. And so actually I had a little wobble about delivering this talk and talking about being filled with the Spirit. I was like, what do I have to say about this right now? But I really felt the Lord say to me, how do you think you've made it through the whole last year with all of its challenges? Did you do all of that in your own strength? How arrogant of me to think that, and to miss that it was actually the Holy Spirit filling me and leading me and helping me all along. Those of us from a charismatic background need to be careful that we don't overemphasize the experiential, the feelings, especially in the times that we are living in. Let's not underestimate the quiet work of the Spirit. And let's not overestimate our own strength and ability like I was doing. We are not as strong as we think we are, and we need the Spirit of God in more ways than we know, and he is already at work in more ways than we even recognize sometimes. It would be easy in this season to let the habit of being filled with the Spirit, just to let it slip away. But in the vineyard, being filled with the Spirit is part of our story. It's part of our legacy. You could say it's part of our liturgy. Let's hold on to that habit. We're learning ways to pray for people over Zoom. In fact, you can sign up for prayer ministry right now on our website. We're learning how to pray in a socially distanced way. And there's all sorts of encouragement for unusual ways of the Holy Spirit working all throughout the New Testament, like people getting healed from touching a handkerchief. The Holy Spirit is not on lockdown. And in fact, next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. What if we spent this week preparing our hearts and welcoming the Holy Spirit every day? What if we approached Pentecost with a new, a fresh expectancy? Before we move on to the next verse, I want to say to those of you that are new to following Jesus or have never been filled with the Spirit, I just want to take the pressure off. It's not really that complicated. Many people find that they do need someone to pray with them to receive the Holy Spirit, but some people are filled just sitting in their house on their own. So if you've never received the Holy Spirit, I am going to pray at the end. You can also come along to our in-person gatherings where we've been praying in a socially distanced way. And as I said, you can also sign up for prayer ministry. People would love to pray with you. So, verse 19 and 20, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. These couple of verses have taken on a whole new significance given that we are currently not able to sing together. For those of you that don't know me, I'm also a worship leader. I love singing, and I love singing together. I've spent the last 20 years encouraging people to find their voice and to sing out. I never imagined a world where I would be asking people not to sing and just listen. It is incredibly surreal. One of the reasons I feel like Paul wrote these verses for 2021 is when he says, sing and make music in your heart. In your heart. In a season where we haven't been able to sing together out loud, we get this more than ever. That's exactly what we've been doing as we come together on a Sunday evening. Our voices might be silenced, but our heart is full of worship. Worship begins in our hearts, not in our vocal cords. But if there's one thing we've learned, one thing we've really missed, we are desperate to be together. We desperately need to be together as a community. And singing is one of those things that we need to do together. The pandemic has only served to underline the value of gathered worship. Worshiping in our own bedroom is important, but so is worshiping with others. And that's the kind of worship that Paul is talking about here. Hearing others sing, seeing their faces as they encounter God, it builds us up in ways that are obvious and ways that are mysterious. A couple of Sunday nights ago at our in-person gathering, my husband Andy was encountering God in worship. And one of the wee ones, because some families are bringing their kids, which is really wonderful. We love having the kids there. And one of the wee ones noticed, and he was asking his parents, what is he doing? And another child heard him say that and asked his parents the same thing. And I think there may have been a third kid as well that said, hey, what's happening to him? What is he doing? What they saw was Andy having an encounter with Jesus. From our youngest to our oldest, it builds our faith and even our curiosity when we see people encountering God in worship. We need to be together. If you notice in the verse, Paul is referencing a few different types of songs. There's been some debate about what these songs are, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. One really interesting interpretation is that because this was a multi-ethnic church, Paul was being inclusive in his language. He was including Jewish psalms, Gentile hymns, and then the new songs and the spontaneous worship that was emerging. For me, this interpretation fits well with Paul's life calling of reaching the Gentiles and his clear and constant call to unity in the church. I think this is wonderful for us to consider, especially in Belfast, given our history of division and disunity. Perhaps many tribes and tongues can worship together. Perhaps that is actually one of the most difficult but profoundly beautiful things about church. Perhaps it was a challenge to worship together, Jews and Gentiles. I imagine it was. Perhaps everyone didn't always get the style of worship that was their first preference. And this willingness to adjust to what God was doing in their midst makes me think a little bit about the journey we are on, having to adjust, adjusting to how we worship, to how we gather, to new buildings, not singing, wearing masks. Everything is different and we are adjusting. The pandemic has really changed and challenged us in our worship, hasn't it? I don't think it's anyone's preference to just worship in our hearts and not with our voices. I don't think any of us enjoy wearing masks and would choose it. However, wisdom shouts to us saying, worship. Worship, even if it doesn't look like what we have known before. Wisdom tells us that this habit of meeting together, something the church has always done, is worth holding on to, in spite of the challenges and in spite of the discomfort. Let's face it, the early church faced a lot greater challenges than wearing masks. One of the opportunities I see in this season is to lay down the sound of my own voice and all the buzz that I get from singing, and to develop my listening ear, listening to God with others. Some of us aren't able to come out for gathered worship, and that is okay. Perhaps it's even wise. However, to those of you who are saying, I'll come out to church when we can sing, I would urge you to reconsider. Would you consider turning, I'll come to church when I can sing, into, I'll come to church to listen to God. Even though I can't sing, even though it's different, even though I don't like it as much, let's make the most of developing our listening ear. And the truth is, the best singers and musicians have great ears. Their ears are trained and attuned to listen. I played clarinet in a symphonic band in university, which is like an orchestra, but without the stringed instrument, and the conductor would always stop us, frustrated, and he would be like, stop, listen, play it again, but listen to each other. And we always played so much better when we listened. Maybe this is a time of training and tuning our ears. And well done to all of you who have hung in there, tuning in online every week, coming out in person. It hasn't been easy, but it is a habit that we need to hold on to. Paul has another little nugget of truth in here for us about worship. Always giving thanks, he says. If you put this into practice, if you make this a habit, it will change your life. It has changed the atmosphere in my heart over and over again. Even this morning, I sat down with my prayer journal and I made a list of things that I'm thankful for, not because I felt like it, but because I was grumpy and I needed to remember God's good gifts to me. I can be so blind to all of His good gifts, from a good cup of coffee to a really meaningful conversation. I can miss the goodness, completely miss the goodness that's right in front of me. I can forget where they came from, these good gifts. I can get so focused on everything that I don't have, especially in a time like this, everything that I don't have, that I'm not satisfied with, that I forget what I do have. And thanksgiving helps me see. So what if you developed a thankfulness habit? Worship and being filled with the Spirit as a habit. Habits can be empty religious rituals, or they can be wisdom in action, the foundation on which we build. These particular habits are best lived out in community, in the church, with one another. Church might look different right now. We might not like it. I'm not sure I like it sometimes. We might be fed up with Zoom. We might really dislike coming out to church with a mask on. But let's make the most of the opportunities we do have. Let's not give up on the habits that have been tried and tested by the church through the ages. Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. though it costs you all you have, get understanding. It costs you all you have. It might cost us everything we have. Let's pray. Jesus, increase our hunger for wisdom right now. Increase our hunger for wisdom. And help us to remain faithful to the habits that the church has practiced through the ages. Fill us with your Spirit. Help us to worship. Teach us to be thankful. We return to these foundations of faith in humility. Make us teachable. Help us to listen. We don't want to miss the opportunities in this moment. Each one of us faces impossible challenges, and we need your wisdom more than ever. We pray that our lives would be marked by such wisdom so as to cause people around us to notice. I pray that our neighbors and our family members, the people around us, would hear Lady Wisdom calling out because of how we live. I pray for every member of this community, from the youngest to the oldest. May we be marked by wisdom. May we be a house of wisdom. And I pray that people who don't know Jesus would come because they see our wisdom. They see your wisdom in us. And for anyone watching this today who has never been filled with the Spirit, would you come, Holy Spirit? Come and fill your church, fill your people. Come and bring a revelation of Jesus. We pray for an encounter with you, Holy Spirit. We open our hearts, we open our minds, we open our lives. Come and fill us now. And sometimes we just wait for a moment. Would you help us to wait, to be patient, to notice what you're doing right now? Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. If you would like prayer ministry, it's not too late to go and sign up on our website right now if you would like someone to pray with you. If you have a story about how the Holy Spirit is filling your life, or how you have pursued wisdom or seen God's wisdom in action in your life, we would love to hear those stories. Do get in touch and have a really, really good week.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.